The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hi, I'm former Buffalo Bills wide receiver Don Beebe, and you're listening to Nate and the Fellas on Circling the Wagons podcast on the Buffalo Rumblings podcast network. Because nobody circles a wagons like the Buffalo Bills. Go Bills.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Hey, hey, let's go Buffalo. Hey, hey, let's go Buffalo.
The Bills make me wanna shout.
Welcome to the Circling the Wagons podcast, a podcast discussing the Bills all year round with interviews, news, recaps, and insightful fan discussion. Most times. Here's your host and lifelong Bills fan, Nate.
The terrible towel lives up to its name today as your Buffalo Bills curb stomp the Pittsburgh Steelers 38-3 in Orchard Park to go 4-1 today. Hello, everyone. Welcome to this recap episode of Circling the Wagons, a Buffalo Rumblings podcast. I'm your host, Nate, and this episode is brought to you by the DraftKings Sportsbook at DeLago. If you are in the Western New York or Central New York area, do yourself a favor. Go check out the DeLago Resort and Casino and have a drink, make a bet, enjoy some food there. Everything is all good. I'm just going to go out and say this, John. By the way, I'm joined by my co-host, John, for this episode. I'm going to give the DeLago Resort and Casino a nickname, and I'm just going to call it the Jewel of Waterloo, because it's just like, I mean, I know there's outlets in Waterloo, but they're okay. They're all right. I mean, that just it's such a nice, every time we drive past it, like, oh, there's the DeLago. So anyway, I'm just going to call it the Jewel of Waterloo. So now when our listeners know, I won't even have to say the DeLago Resort and Casino. I'll just say the Jewel of Waterloo. Anyway, we're going to discuss the Bills' victory.
Well, it's better than Third and Cole.
It's better than Third and Cole. I always have the best nicknames, Third and Cole. that's pretty much it. But the Jewel of Waterloo, I'm there. So we're going to go over our thoughts on the game, some stats of the game, our sweet sassy molassy plays of the game, and as always, our wall of famers and wall of shamers with some help from our amazing followers on Twitter. So I'd like to welcome my co-host John to talk about this huge win over the Pittsburgh Steelers today. I mean, it wasn't even close from the beginning, John. It was just like, I mean, there was that missed field goal, and you're just like, is this going to come back to bite us? And it was pretty much over from the very beginning, and it was it was kind of an enjoyable game to just like, this is, we're so used to, and we've been fan for over 20 years. So like, you know, we've lived through the drought era and stuff like that. It's so weird to actually see them beat up on teams they should beat up on, you know, like this is a team that the Steelers are a team where a rookie quarterback came in. It's his first start, Kenny Pickett. And the Bills are down several starters in the secondary, in the team in general. I mean, they were without Tremaine Edmonds, Jordan Poyer, to name a few. They were without Jameson Crowder, Isaiah McKenzie, all their slot receivers. Khalil Shakir came in for them. I mean, they were down a lot of players, and you're just like, they're still 14-point favorites. They should still destroy the Steelers, and they did. And it wasn't close from the beginning, and it was a pretty sweet win. I mean, thoughts on the game from your standpoint, is that pretty much how you saw it?
Yeah, for sure. It's one of those games in recent history where even with a couple mishaps early on, I was never worried, and there was no reason to be worried. You know, the opening kickoff was muffed a little bit. They got it at the 2 yard line, but third and 10, up, 98 yard touchdown pass, touchdown. All right. Everything is good with the world again. And, you know, like Josh Allen with like 300 something passing yards in the first half, right? Like, what's the benchmark? 300 yards for the whole game, right? For a quarterback, right? Like, how many years through the drought where like they would struggle to get like 150, 175 yards for the whole game out of their quarterback, right? Like, yeah, it's crazy. Like, it's awesome. The Bills are number one, not only in the AFC East right now, but the AFC. Huge game next week against the Chiefs. Like, they beat the Ravens last week. Like, oh, it's great. Love it.
Yeah, it's definitely a great time to be a fan. I was thinking about what you were saying, you know, just that 98 yard touchdown pass just set the whole scene for the entire game. It just set the tone. That's what I wanted to say. And you know, you said like 300 yards in the first half. I mean, another game where Case Keenum saw most of the fourth quarter. What a great benchmark to be a quarterback when you can throw for that many yards and still not play all of the entire game. You know, like, and, you know, benchmarks aside, because, you know, Kenny Pickett at 371 yards or whatever it ended up being. We'll get to stats of the game in a minute. But what a difference in those two statistics. Like, you know, Josh Allen might have had 50 yards more passing than Kenny Pickett on the day. But, I mean, there was night and day based on the passing game, based on what you saw. And every time it feels like, because I was watching more football tonight, you know, after the Bills game. And just like, you know, I just appreciate, I watch Matt Stafford play, I watch, you know, I just appreciate Josh Allen so much more every time I watch another quarterback play. You know, he's just so good at finding the guys that are open, getting him the ball. And the Bills receivers are just enough can't be said about, obviously, Stephon Diggs is an unbelievable wide receiver. Gabriel Davis is making his name for, I would say going into the season, like a top 30, top 40 wide receiver. He might be in the conversation for like a top 15, top 20 wide receiver after today's game. 171 yards receiving, just a lights out game. He only caught 3 passes. You mentioned this before the broadcast. Like, what did he average between his catches? It was like 57 yards per catch, and the 3 catches he got for and 2 touchdowns. Like, Khalil Shakir came in. Both are starting slot wide receivers out today. We know, at least it appears that Khalil Shakir would eventually take over as a slot wide receiver in time. He's a rookie right now. But, man, he looked good. I'm just saying, hot take right now. Hot take. Khalil Shakir takes over this role, no matter who's healthy, halfway through the season because of how good he looks in general. I mean, he is just – I know the Bills love – giving their rookie players time to develop. They don't love shoving them in right away. Like, that's just the way that Sean McDermott, and it's worked out, right? Like, I mean, they like to give him time to acclimate to the NFL. But, I mean, he is a threat on the field. And minus that one drop, he looked good today, John.
Yeah, no doubt. And, like, you know, we were talking earlier, Tywan Jones had that muffed kickoff to start the game. But then they pulled him out and put Shakir back there. And he ran it, you know, past the 40-yard line on the one kickoff. So, like, he definitely has that speed. You know, he had a good couple of nice plays last game. I love it. And I also like James Cook. You know, obviously, what you said with the rookies and everything. And he himself, he had, you know, the fumble the first game. He had a drop but last week, I think. But he's got that playmaking ability also. And I think those two players are going to be huge for Buffalo in the years to come.
Yeah, I'm so glad you brought up James Cook too, because you saw that speed that the Bills really lack in the backfield, and he just showed a lot of that flash that we were looking for when he got drafted. So that was really cool to see. Bills secondary, I mean, they had a lot of players out. Really, the only starter that they had going was Dane Jackson, and even with that, like, I mean, they were missing obviously. You know, Micah Hyde's out for the season. Jordan Poyer was out today. Christian Benford out again this week. And, you know, all the players, like, making plays. Sure, it was a rookie quarterback. Sure, it wasn't, you know, ideal. It wasn't Patrick Mahomes like it will be next week. But, you know, you're looking at a situation where they took advantage of it. Leslie Frazier called up another great game plan. to really just stop the Steelers. And I mean, 38-3. I mean, what else can you say about that?
Yeah, it's crazy with the injuries they've had on defense and everything. You look at their leading tacklers for today, and you got Tyrell Dodson, and then Kyler Elam, and then Hamlin, then you got Dane Jackson, Taron Johnson, and then Spector, and then Terrell Bernard, Jaquan Johnson, Daquan Jones. Like, that's everybody who had two more tackles. That's a lot of names on the list you wouldn't have thought about last year, you know, right?
Can I say something? I like Tyrell Dodson's game today. I thought he looked pretty good. I mean, is he Tremaine Edmonds? No, but like, I thought he looked pretty good back there in that backup role. You never know how it's going to go. You knew that they were going to try to feed Najee Harris if they could. And then, you know, when they got up, they couldn't run the ball at all. They had to keep passing it, and he kept the play in front of him. I thought he had a few good tackles. He almost had a couple of picks there. Like, he was in the mix a lot. Hot take, John. Okay. If Tyrell Dodson is 70% of Tremaine Edmonds, do you still pay Tremaine Edmonds like $20 million a year, you know, next season and going forward? Because to me, I know I've kind of been really hard on Tremaine Edmonds. I like him. I just, like, I always say this every time I talk about Tremaine Edmonds, I like him. I don't love him. You know what I mean? Like, I like everyone that the Bills have pretty much committed long-term money to, I really loved. Like, I mean, going back, I'm sure you agree with me, John, and I'm sure you agree with everything Brandon Bean's done to this. I feel like if they pay him top two or three money, I feel like they're paying him. I feel like they're overpaying him. And I know we're just talking. I know this is like a long-term thing, but I'd be okay with Tyrell Dodson in the short term, seeing what we have in him and, you know, going from there and saving that money and giving it to a Gabriel Davis or whatever, you know, as the time comes, because if you have one or the other, man, like I don't want to lose that guy. So, am I crazy for thinking that? Did you think that at all when you saw Tyrell Dodson play, or it didn't even cross your mind?
So you like him, but don't like him?
Yeah.
So like, it's, so I kind of feel like, so like, everybody always talks up the Jordan Poyer Micah Hyde tandem, which is phenomenal, but I do think there's something to be said about the Milano Edmonds combination. I think that's worked really well for them overall. To your point, the money thing is going to be an issue, just because they can't, you know, it's hard to have the number one offense, the number one defense, right? Like, something's got to give at some point. And if, you know, if you're beefing up the secondary and the defensive line, it's going to be tough to keep a linebacker. But I do like him a lot. I think there's been moments where it's been easy to criticize for a lot of fans, but overall, I think he's been good for Buffalo.
Yeah, yeah. I know I'm getting way ahead of myself, but it's just something. I guess my point was Tyrell Dodson had a good game today, and that was good to see, because you didn't really know how he was going to look. Tremaine Edmonds has been so reliable just as that middle linebacker. He hasn't missed that many games really in his career. So,
I failed to answer your original question about Dodson. No, I do like Dodson. and I like their depth overall on defense. I think they're great, and I think they're really well coached too, with Leslie Frazier and McDermott and all the positional coaches. I think they're great.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. So let's go into our stats of the game.
Stats of the game.
They've done studies, you know, 60% of the time it works every time.
That doesn't make sense.
So you're telling me there's a chance?
Well, people can come up with statistics to prove anything, Kent. 40% of all people know that.
The stats of the game brought to you by the DraftKings Sportsbook at DeLago. On the Bills side of the ball, like we mentioned, Josh Allen, 20 for 31, 424 yards, four touchdowns and one interception. That one interception coming in the end zone against Levi Wallace, former Buffalo Bill Levi Wallace. You know, just kind of a funny, I mean, it was in the end zone, like they were driving, man, and Levi Wallace just made a heads up play. I mean, good for him. You know, we always like Levi Wallace here. Bills leading rusher, Josh Allen, again this week. Actually tied in Josh Allen. 5 carries for 42 yards. Devin Singletary, 6 carries for 42 yards. 7 yards per carry. John, I know the Bills are like a multifaceted team, right? Like, it's what's great about this team in general. You know, we mentioned, you know, how good the defense, you gave away all those stats about the Bills defense being able to tackle, all these players getting in on the ball. It's not like, I guess the Bills aren't like a Rams and a Cooper Kupp situation where like Cooper Kupp's getting like, you know, 70% of the targets, right? Or something to that level. The Bills are spreading the ball around a lot to the receivers, and then running the ball, like they seem to run the ball okay when they have to, but I'm glad they're giving the ball to Devin Singletary, James Cook, Zach Moss, blah, blah, blah. Is it crazy to say that even after week 5, now I missed the game last week in Baltimore, by the way, appreciate everyone that like emailed and tweeted us and was like, hey, where's the show or whatever. I was out of town and was unable to watch the game, actually. So I missed it completely. I didn't come back until this past Sunday to watch the Bills Steelers game. But I mean, Devin Singletary needs more touches. Like, we're in week 5, and I don't know if they're just holding on to you know, they're just trying to weaken his workload so like he has, you know, he's ready for the playoffs where they can hand him the ball 15 times. I don't know, but he's only getting, I mean, he's averaging probably 5 or 6 yards per carry at this point in the season, and he looks good. He doesn't have that speed element that James Cook does. We all know that. But, I mean, you know, catching the ball out of the backfield, he makes guys miss. I am a really big fan of Devin Singletary. I don't know if they re-sign him after this season, but I like what he's shown so far at the end of last season and going into this season. He needs to get more carries in general this season. Am I crazy?
No, Singletary is definitely good. And you could see last week, you know, just being a receiving outlet as well, you know, once he gets the ball in his hand, things can happen. He did average 7 yards a carry tonight. Cook averaged 7.8. Even Zach Moss on his 1 carry, he had a 7-yard carry. So, like, they can do it. But they are a passing team also. So it's kind of hard to, like, well, you know, I mean, tonight they could do no wrong.
Yeah, and in most of the situations, you know, I'm nitpicking, right? I know I'm nitpicking in this case. But at least Josh's 5 rushes, I mean, most of them were not design runs. Like, he saw an opening and he took it. Would I wish he slid a few more times as opposed to taking some hits? Absolutely. But that's okay. That's not the way it went. Josh Allen, like I said, he tied for leading rusher. He had 5 carries for 42 yards. Devin Singletary had 6 carries for 42 yards. James Cook had 4 carries for 31 yards. And that touchdown, that 24-yard touchdown. So like John mentioned, he had 7.8 yards per carry. Zach Moss had 7 yards per carry. I mean, a good day overall. When they needed to run the ball, they could. They just didn't have to a ton today because they took advantage. And what's funny is the Steelers have like one of the worst run defenses in the league, and the Bills are still like, we're just going to pass it. We're just going to pass it anyway because that's what we do well, and we just do it better than you do defending it. So that's what we're going to do. You guys are missing. You're going to have a banged-up secondary, and we're just going to walk all over you. So leading receiver for the Buffalo Bills, we mentioned this earlier, Gabe Davis, 3 receptions on 6 targets, 171 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Oh, wow. So next leading receiver, another amazing game. Stephon Diggs, 8 receptions on 11 targets, 102 yards, 1 touchdown. An unbelievable game by Stephon Diggs, too. I mean, you would easily give it. I mean, we haven't gotten into Wall of Fame and Wall of Shame yet, but, I mean, he would probably normally get it if it wasn't for Gabe Davis' stat line. Khalil Shakir, next leading receiver. 3 receptions on 5 targets for 75 yards, 1 touchdown, his first NFL career touchdown. Was great to see from the rookie. Isaiah Hodgins, stepping up with the Bills having so many injuries on the wide receiving core. 3 receptions on 5 targets for 75 yards and a touchdown. I'm sorry. I just read Khalil Shakir's stat line. Isaiah Hodgins, 4 receptions on 6 targets for 41 yards. And then you had Quinton Morris, 3 receptions on 5 targets for 39 yards. Had that fumble. Not a big fan of the hit. So Also, we had, let's look at the defense real quick. I don't do this a ton, but let's do this. Kair Elam had that interception. Tyrell Dodson had a sack. We mentioned that earlier, one of the leading tacklers. Seven tackles, four assists, one sack he had. I forgot he had that sack. Von Miller had a sack. E.J. Epinesa had a sack. Bills pass rush getting the job done. On the Steelers side of the ball, Kenny Pickett, 35 for 52, 327 yards, zero touchdowns, one interception, to Kair Elam. We just mentioned backup corner, technically, Kair Elam, which I thought he looked pretty good today as well. Leading rusher for the Steelers was Jaylen Warren, 5 carries for 24 yards, which crazy is Najee Harris had 11 carries and only 20 yards rushing. The Bills defense stopping Najee Harris and him only getting 1.8 yards per carry. I thought, unbelievable. Great game by the Bills defense. Let's see. Steelers leading receiver, George Pickens, 6 receptions on 8 targets for 83 yards. Deontay Johnson, 5 receptions on 13 targets for 60 yards. Chase Claypool, and then a bunch of other guys. Doesn't matter. Anyway, those are stats of the game brought to you by the DraftKings Sportsbook at DeLago. With a couple more interesting stats, with a 62-yard and 98-yard touchdown catch, Gabriel Davis becomes the third player in team history to record multiple 60-plus-yard touchdown catches in a single game. The Bills' 35-point win marks the team's largest margin of victory in Bills-Steelers history. It also marks the Steelers' most decisive loss since 1989, when they lost 51-0 versus the Cleveland Browns. So pretty cool. John, this kind of speaks to us a little bit that as fans, because remember when we had season tickets and we would go to Orchard Park and the Steelers would be playing against the Bills, and there are so many Steelers fans in Buffalo for that game. I think it's just, you know, it's location or whatever. So it was kind of annoying to go to a game when the Steelers were in town. I think that just makes that win just a little bit sweeter. It's not a divisional win by any mean. And it doesn't matter a whole lot. I don't think the Steelers are 1-4 now. They're not a threat in the AFC whatsoever at this point, you know, for this franchise. But this win feels a little bit better because it's kind of stunk being a Bills fan when the Steelers were in town, just hearing them. They were loud. They were loud, and there were a ton of them there. I mean, give them credit for that. But I enjoyed that win a little bit more today just because of that. Do you remember that those days?
Yeah, and that's why I enjoy every one of these wins a little bit more, because every one of these teams would crush us in the drought years. Didn't matter who it was.
It would be the same thing. Like the Steelers or the Patriots fans would travel, and like, yeah, exactly. All these diehard fans that like didn't want to pay, you know, Gillette Stadium prices would come to Orchard Park because it was so cheap. I remember one of them telling me it was cheaper to get a hotel and get a ticket to Patriots game in Orchard Park than it was to go to Gillette Stadium. And yeah. So we're going to take a quick commercial break. After that, we'll go into our Sweet Sassy Molassy plays of the game and our Wall of Famers and Wall of Shamers. So stick around.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. As a parent, you want your child to have every opportunity. But giving them the tools they need to tackle every challenge, that takes a team. Now more than ever, educational support tailored exactly to what your child needs can make all the difference. That's why parents have trusted Sylvan Learning for 45 years as the ultimate teammate in their child's educational journey, instilling in them a love for learning and a passion for reaching the next level. And Sylvan's Insight Assessment can identify gaps in learning and areas that could be of concern for your child. It's a 360-degree view into your child's learning that you can't find anywhere else, and helps ensure that your child didn't miss something in school that might put them at a disadvantage in the future. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's SYLVAN29.com.
All right, welcome back to Circling the Wagons, a Buffalo Rumblings podcast. This is our recap show brought to you by the DraftKings Sportsbook at DeLago. I'm your host, Nate. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm with my co-host, John. Mike couldn't make it this evening. He's traveling for work. And yeah, let's go into our Sweet Sassy Molassie plays of the game.
Sweet Sassy Molassie, get out the checkbook and pay Grandma for the rubdown.
Now, John, there were a lot of great plays in this win. I mean, when you win 38-3, you know there's going to be a lot of them. What was your Sweet Sassy Molassie play of the game?
This is tough, but I'm going to go with the Gabriel Davis second touchdown where Mika Fitzpatrick had basically taken the ball out of his hands during the catch, but Davis wrestled it back and got the touchdown. That was pretty awesome.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I love that one. I'm so glad you mentioned it. He, like, catches it with one hand outstretched, brings it in. Minka Fitzpatrick, you think he might, in real time, it looked like a fantastic catch. When you looked at a replay, it looked like Minka Fitzpatrick pretty much had the interception, like you said, minus, you know, Gabriel Davis ripping it away. And Tony Romo called that, like, just perfectly. He just realized, like, I'm the big man. I'm taking that away from you. And it being against Minka Fitzpatrick, you know, former Dolphin Minka Fitzpatrick, that just was so much better. I mean, the 98-yard touchdown was amazing. Don't get me wrong. Like, that was a great play. But that one was just – it was just put the icing on the cake. I love that play. I'm glad you mentioned that. That was my Sweet Sassy Molassie play of the game. Now, Gettysburg play of the game –
Four score and 7 years ago.
We got to talk about, I mean, was there the Bills never looked back. So, John, would you say that 98-yard touchdown that we did mention, both Gabriel Davis touchdowns being the Sweet Sassy Molassie play of the game and then the 98-yard touchdown being the Gettysburg play of the game?
Yeah, it has to be, right? Like, you know, they muffed the kickoff, like we said before. They got the two, the third and 10 already. It's like, oh no, what is this game going to be like? And boom, 98-yard touchdown. Like, all right.
Oh man, that feels so good for the Bills to actually be able to do something like this after so many years of us. I feel like, you know, our listeners would be like, ah, we don't care about how it used to be, but it is relevant. Like, some of these feelings are just like, man, like, ah, backed up on your, ah, what a crappy way to start the game. Oh, 98-yard touchdown, up 7-0. It doesn't matter. Everything's fine.
I remember games during the drought years where they would be backed up at their own 2-yard line on third and long, thinking they should just punt it because if they go for it, the other team could get a touchdown or a safety.
Yeah.
Now it's like, well, they have a chance.
Yeah, they have a chance.
They can get the first down, right? And not only that, obviously a touchdown.
So you're saying there's a chance. Yeah, exactly. They do what they would do is they'd third and 10, they just run a draw play to try to get like 2 or 3 yards so they weren't as backed up in their own end zone when they went to punt it. That's all they did.
Yeah, and you still think they'd fumble it, right? Like,
it's still fumbled. Oh, man. Good day. I like that as a Gettysburg play of the game. Now let's go into the Wall of Fame.
Wall.
John, I'll start off with this one. On my Wall of Fame, I got to put Josh Allen. We mentioned so many other players. I mean, if we were going to do a fire emoji rating out of 5, I mean, he's you know, 18 and a half, right? Like, I mean, the guy just had an unbelievable game. He shows time and time again, like, that he is the real deal, that sometimes you think that this guy's maybe starting to hit his ceiling, and then he does this, you know, again, where it's just... And you know, credit to Ken Dorsey, credit to Sean McDermott, and the staff for you know, Brandon Bean for building around Josh Allen and getting seeing what they saw in him and then building around him and then continually like getting him players to pass the ball. I mean, the Bills were on to like their third slot receiver and Khalil Shakir looked like a Pro Bowler today. I mean that. That's what Josh, you know, part of me, you know, I mentioned Gabriel Davis earlier, like signing him to an extension. I'm just talking in you know, no uncertain terms. You need to keep giving every single year, give Josh Allen another wide receiver, draft another one, because he elevates the play of every player around him. He elevates Dawson Knox, he elevates Quinton Morris, Reggie Gilliam. All these players have potential, and he just taps into and he maximizes it, I feel. And that's not, I know it's slight hyperbole saying that, but we've never seen anything like this. Like, you and I as kids watching Jim Kelly, and sure, we didn't like have the acumen that we do now. People would say, like, oh, is he better than Jim Kelly? And I'd be like, whoa, he hasn't accomplished nearly as much as Jim Kelly has. So I know it's hyperbolic, but, I mean, we're seeing something so special and so good. I feel like the only thing that can stop Josh Allen is something I don't even want to mention out loud because I'm afraid it might speak into existence. So I think that's the only thing that can stop Josh Allen right now. And so he easily goes on my wall of fame in this game. What about you?
I agree. Yeah, Josh Allen.
That's all. That's all you need to know.
Like, I mean, like, I just look at his first half stats, right? Like, you know, 300 something yards, 4 touchdowns. He ended up with 2 receivers over 100 yards. He's tied for the leading rusher for the Bills. Like, yeah, he's the best. Like, oh, and the comparisons to Jim Kelly, yeah, I get that. But I agree. It's too soon, but like you. You have that feeling that it's going to happen. Like they're going to get at a minimum a Super Bowl win, right?
Yeah.
Like have that feeling, which we haven't felt since obviously Jim Kelly.
Yeah. Or like the ability to even compete for one, which we're right there, which is kind of crazy. Knocking on the doorstep and minus like a, just an insane, crazy Dolphins game. You know, which we, you know, did a recap for a few weeks ago, minus that game. I mean, the Bills are really, you know, they're almost 5-0, you know, at this point, minus that play. So
they're number one in the AFC right now.
Dolphins not looking too good. Teddy Bridgewater went down, right? Yeah. The Jets beat them.
The Jets and the Dolphins are both in the playoffs if it started right now,
which is crazy.
How about that?
Because they're actually above the Patriots. The Patriots are 2-3, right? All right, so I want to give a few honorable mentions. I'm sure, John, you want to give some too. The first one I'm going to give, and I'll hand it back over to you, is obviously Gabriel Davis, 3 receptions, you know, 171 yards, just blossoming into an unbelievable wide receiver in his third year. How can you not like what you see out of Gabriel Davis? I mean, he doesn't have the speed maybe, but, I mean, his route running ability, his ability to high point the ball, you know, catches 98 yards. Like I said, he doesn't have the quickest wheels. I think coming out of the draft, like he had a slow 40 time, but he shows it on the field, and that's why they drafted him. And I want to give an honorable mention to Gabriel Davis, which is an obvious honorable mention, but throw it back over to you. Who do you have? Because I know that there's a lot to give on this win.
Yeah, Gabriel Davis for sure. Leslie Frazier. Yeah, sure, they were playing against a rookie quarterback, but you know, he didn't look half bad at times, and they had all these injuries on defense, right? Like they, you know, Travis White is still out. Mike Hyatt is out. Poyer was out again. Tremaine Edmonds was out. Like Benford was out. They got all these guys out, and they still called a great game. They limited Najee Harris, which I pulled on my fantasy team because I expected this to happen. See, yeah, pretty smart.
Probably. Dude, you might as well be a fantasy football analyst. Not only do you have a fantasy football podcast besides a Buffalo Bills podcast, because I would not be surprised whatsoever.
I don't, and I'm probably going to lose anyway, even though I made that move, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, but you still would have more points with the guy you put in, though, right? Instead.
Yes.
I love the Leslie Frazier one, John, a lot. Just an unbelievable game called by him. Sure was a rookie quarterback, like you said, and the Bills have fared really well against rookie quarterbacks. I believe before today's game, they're 3-7 against them, obviously taking, or I'm sorry, 7-3 against them, wins, losses. You know, but they could have let it happen and be like a Trevor Lawrence sort of game where he does just enough just to keep the game in, but it didn't matter. We shut him down. I want to give a Wall of Fame mention to all the backups. All the backups that had to play today. You mentioned the defensive ones. We already talked about Tyrell Dodson, most of the Bills secondary, but how about Khalil Shakir? Minus that one drop, had a really good game. Isaiah Hodgins, we mentioned earlier. Quinton Morris with Dawson Knox being out. You know, really hoping, I mean, speaking of, you know, looking forward to next week. I really hope we get a few of those guys back against the Kansas City Chiefs. I would like to get hopefully at least half of them back, but it was nice to get at least our full defensive line back in playing, you know, just to provide some pressure, which they definitely did today. I know it didn't count. I think the Bills only had 3 sacks, but, you know, they were constantly in Kenny Pickett's face, batting down balls as well. John, who do you have on your wall of shame in today's win?
Shame. Shame. Shame.
Nah, I don't have anybody.
Nice. Nice. What does Mike give you crap for? He's always like, oh, you have too many people on your wall of fame, right? And then you have no one on your wall of shame. And, you know, I think that's very apt.
Thank you.
I want to put it, so what I have on my wall of shame, and if you follow us on Twitter, at CTWpod, like at Circling the Wagons Pod, it's just my one gripe is that, you know, with the podcast this year, I knew I was going on this vacation where I wouldn't get a lot of self, I wouldn't be able to watch the game live, so we were at this, like, amusement park, this theme park, and my whole plan today was, you know, to try to, like, balance both, like, be a big, you know, Bills fan and also, you know, be a family guy and a dad, was to have my, like, headphones on and listen to the game through the NFL Plus app. And you have to do that because if you listen to WGR 550 or the Buffalo Bills mobile app, like, it just cuts out, like, at 1 o'clock. At 1 p.m. game time, it's like, you cannot listen to this anymore due to NFL regulations or whatever they say, right? So I specifically got NFL Plus, the app, to be able to do what I did today and to listen to the game while I was, like, you know, playing with my kids, doing ride and rides with them or whatever. Like, I'd at least be able to hear Eric Wood and John Murphy in my ears, right? And just like everything the NFL does, like, NFL has, like, really great ideas in theory, but they always miss on execution, it feels like. You know what I mean? Like, this specifically, like, NFL Plus is a great idea. You can rewatch, like, condensed, like, all the condensed games. You can rewatch, you know, all the full games, you know, and you can watch the games live if they're within your local coverage. But, like, you were supposed to be able to listen to the game, and the app just kept shutting off. I spent, like, 15, 20 minutes alone just trying to start the app at 1 o'clock, and it just kept shutting down, shutting down, shutting down. It's like, just leave it to the NFL to not put enough, like, horsepower behind this, like, great idea to get $80 a year for people, like, you know, to subscribe to this thing, and then just, you know, it just stinks. Just, like, they just didn't, like, think it through well enough, like, that it keeps crashing. It's like, you know, I don't know. It's just funny because it is literally one of the biggest, most richest, you know, franchises in all of sports, and it just can't get these things right. You know what I mean? It's just funny. It probably take another year or two before they finally get this right. But that's my gripe. It probably affects almost none of the listeners today. Almost none of the listeners of this podcast have anything to do with this. But right now, if you have NFL Plus, it's great for replays, but it sucks for live game stuff, at least radio-wise. So anyway, that's my wall of shame. But in the game itself, that actually matters. I didn't really have anything. There was a drop by Khalil Shakir. Quinn Morris had that fumble on the shovel pass. I wasn't really happy about that. You know, the special teams had a couple of, you know, kind of head-scratching moves. Like you said, the Tywan Jones, you know, drop and, like, you know, had it at the 2-yard line, didn't end up mattering. Just stuff like that. Saran Neal not being able to get the ball down on the 1-yard line, getting it. I mean, we're nitpicking, though. But it wasn't a perfect game. Again, I don't think anyone would think it was, but it was a damn good one. And, yeah. Also, wall of shame, me recording this in my hotel, which also, like, all of a sudden, John, like, this tonight, what is it, like 8:30, 9 o'clock at night, and everyone's coming in from out of town to check in when I'm trying to do it in, like, the breakfast bar, like, continental breakfast area. And, like, oh, nobody will be down there. It's been shut down for 12 hours. Like, I'll easily be able to just set up my laptop. And all of a sudden, like, all these families are coming in with their, like, 10 kids and, like, boxes of pizza, and they're like, now's the time to eat. We're not eating in our room. We're eating downstairs. So that's, I guess, I'll put that on my wall of shame. Wall of shame. So
that's actually pretty smart.
What, to not have them in your room and get it dirty and stuff like that? Yeah, that's smart of them. Yeah, they go on the wall of fame then. Smart move by those parents. Oh, but yeah. So All right, well, let's go over to Twitter and see what our followers said. So for those that are listening for the first time, or those that are unfamiliar, after each Bills game, obviously last week, notwithstanding, I say, you know, the Bills, you know, win or lose, so-and-so, who or what is on your wall of fame and wall of shame in today's win or loss? And so we have some good ones. Obviously, with a win, it's fun to talk about on your wall of shame and wall of fame. Chris Greaves leads us off. He says, wall of fame, Shakir and Cook for their first NFL touchdowns. Wall of shame, Shaq Lawson for the low hit on Pickett right at the end. No need for that sort of thing so late in the blowout win. Yeah, there's a little scuffle at the end. It was kind of like the game was over. And then, yeah. You know, I agree with Chris. It was may have gone a little too far, but the way that players have been taking liberties against Josh Allen, part of me is like, whatever. They're going to do it to us. Might as well do it to them.
It was a clean hit. He was outside the pocket. Whatever.
Yeah, right? He didn't twist his junk. He didn't grab his Josh's jacks or his Flutie Flakes, did he? Brian Dodge writes, wall of fame, putting Quentin Morris in familiar positions. Wall of shame, asking Quentin Morris to do unfamiliar things. What do you think he means by that, John? Interesting.
Yeah, tweet. I mean, like, he had a great catch over the middle at one point during the game, but that shuffle pass at the goal line didn't work out when he fumbled it, so maybe that's it.
Yeah, I agree. Like, he did look good today when the ball was thrown to him for the most part. But the shuffle pass. It was an interesting way of utilizing him. And for all intents and purposes, yeah, asking him to do something unfamiliar like that. But, I mean, it is still, John, it's still a shovel pass, right? Like, you still just have to catch a ball. It's basically like just a forward pass, like a very simple backyard.
Yeah, he caught it. It's just that afterwards he fumbled it.
Yeah, true. So holding on to the ball was really the issue after the catch. So, okay. Mike Graham writes, wall of fame goes to Frazier. He is extremely underrated and deserves some recognition, even if it's from me. Josh Allen, Davis, and Diggs are the obvious choices. Wall of shame, I don't know. I actually have no clues, so I'll go with your choice for this one. You should always go with our choice for all of them, not just this one. Mike Graham, so I'll say that. Daniel Burr writes, wall of fame, hell, everyone. Hard to find a blemish. Wall of shame, Pickett for not knowing outside pocket rules. Tomlin for not challenging Pickett's catch. It's so confusing because there is another Pickett. The wide receiver is also named Pickett, right, John? No, it's a Pickens.
Pickens, yes.
Pickens, okay. So I think that's what Daniel meant. Gettysburg, nice. Taiwan's kickoff, quote-unquote, return. It was a deliberate setup for Davis's 98-yarder. Mind games. I love that one. It was clearly just to set it up, right? Like, it was clearly he wanted to do that. John McDermott, man, he's playing 4D chess. Pete Maximusic, he's going to kill me for this one. Pete writes, wall of fame, Allen and Davis with an honorable mention to Shakir. Wall of shame, Tony Romo's sweaty armpit. You stand out in that sun, Pete. See if you don't have sweaty armpits on a dress shirt. I guarantee half the armpits, man and woman, at the Bills game today were sweaty. Private Joker 2003. Wall of shame, Tywan Jones for giving the Bills a golf handicap the first play. Wall of fame, always number 17. But how about Gabe Davis? Nowhere close to healthy, but still dominating. Also, Von Miller was an absolute terror. I like they brought up about Gabe Davis not even being healthy, because that was mentioned pre-broadcast that he was still limping throughout practice. He was looking better, but he still wasn't himself. Pretty crazy. Let's do this. We have some really good followers that always give us. I'm gonna start on the bottom now. The Automatic Machines writes, wall of shame, McDermott for not keeping Allen in to make over 500 yards. But really, maybe Neal for dropping multiple picks. Yes, Ron Neal had some drops for sure against Kenny Pickett. But I thought, I mean, you know, those notwithstanding, I thought he looked pretty good, John, in a backup role against the Steelers starters. Wall of fame, Allen for dropping dimes all game. Five fire emojis. Yes, that's what I'm talking about. Gettysburg, the 99-yard Davis touchdown pass. It was all over after that. Nice. Nice. John, is that your burner account? I feel like that pretty much... And it has no profile picture, too. Or is that a profile picture? Hold on. I got to see what this profile picture. It almost looks like there's no profile picture. You know those are sus, right? I don't know. It's like a profile picture of like three dots. How would you know? All right. So maybe your burner accounts are a little bit more, more complex than I give you credit for.
Yeah. You don't know which ones are mine.
Yours are going to be like whatever John says on the podcast. That's what my Wall of Fame and Wall of Shame are. Stu McAllister writes, Wall of Fame, clearly Josh Allen and Gabe Davis. I'd like to throw some love at Shakir too. Wall of Shame, the coaches for not letting Allen throw for 600 yards. Sweet sassy molassy play, the first Gabe Davis touchdown. I like it. I like, you know what's funny is... I will always take a sweet sassy molassy or Gettysburg play of the game. So if you want to add those into your Wall of Fame or Wall of Shame, please do so. I know you guys are true listeners when you give those. Ian writes, Wall of Fame is too big to share everyone, but I'm just going to say Josh MVP Allen. Wall of Shame, poor Case Keenum for forcing us to punt. Dan Mitchell wrote, Khalil Shakir has won the slot competition hands down. What I like about him saying that is that I agree. I said that earlier just kind of like as a hot take. Like, it's hard to disagree with that one though, right, John? I mean, I like Isaiah McKenzie and I like Jameson Crowder, but Khalil Shakir looked good. Minus that drop, man. He almost had a perfect day.
Yeah, for sure. Shakir's the future. Love McKenzie, but it's just great that they have these depth players and they keep drafting these guys like Cook too, right? Like Cook looks like he's going to be something for the Bills. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just great to see.
Yeah, exactly. And he's going to be something, whatever that something is, it's developing. And before our eyes, we're seeing, you know, how good it looks. I mean, when was the last time we saw a 24-yard touchdown like that from any Bills running back, maybe since LeSean McCoy, perhaps, you know?
Well, none for this year because up until that touchdown, they've all been Josh Allen, rushing or passing.
Yeah, good point. Buffalo Ceilings writes, Wall of Fame, Gabe Davis's healed ankle. Allen just barely missing six touchdowns, and the D for continuing to overcome injuries. Wall of Shame, the red zone turnovers. Yeah, I like that one. I like that Wall of Shame because that was true. Red zone turnover for the interception to Levi Wallace that Josh Allen threw, and then also that Quentin Morris fumble that we just mentioned. Lou I writes, Steelers fans, Wall of Shame. They're calling the Shaq Lawson leg hit dirty. Was it intentional? No. Was it a rough hit? Yes. Shaq was literally full speed. Dove at the throw as the throw was in motion. Yeah, I'm not looking too much into that. I know a couple of people have mentioned that, but it's whatever. It's not like you said, it wasn't like he was crushing his Josh's jacks. It was whatever. Late hit. I mean, it's just like when Dolphins fans got upset about the Matt Milano hit against Tua. It's like such a gray area. Big R writes, Wall of Fame, Josh Allen, five fire emojis, was on pace for 700 yards passing after half. Team defense for making Kenny Pickett's life hell. Gabe for making up for last week and Shakir for a stellar game. Wall of Shame, Bills last year for losing to the Steelers. Yeah. Of course, the Steelers were without TJ Watt this week, which would have been, I'm sure, a big difference. But yeah, for sure, that loss last year definitely sucked and set a crappy tone for that beginning of the season. But we're not in there. We're on to 2022. He also writes, Big R writes, Gettysburg, Gabe's second touchdown. No, he writes a second one. Edgar Donnybrook writes, the NFL on CBS is my Wall of Shame. Everyone else can take a spot on the Wall of Fame, even though it wasn't always pretty. Yep. Richard W. Griswold writes, Gettysburg play of the game, maybe play of the season, the Josh Allen to Gabriel Davis 98-yard touchdown. Jason Statham writes, Wall of Fame, I'm going Shakir. The dude made some great catches and looked like he belonged on the team. Wall of Shame, Shaq Lawson. There was no need to hit Pickett that late. Jeez, there were a lot of people talking about that. Poor discipline. All in all, a very good day at the office. Bring on the Chiefs. Go Bills. John, we did not talk about that. Hey, does that even bother? I mean, it's like the fifth person that's mentioned it.
No, I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
I'm actually surprised nobody mentioned the one on Pickett where he was kind of like started a slide and...
Oh, yeah. DeMar Hamlin when he hit him, right?
Yeah. I thought that was fine, too. Obviously, his offensive lineman, like... big bet.
He was not a fan of the DeMar Hamlin hit on Kenny Pickett. You know what's crazy? I mean, just mentioning Shaq Lawson, how amazing is it that just a few years ago, Shaq Lawson was basically a starter, and now he's like the third string defensive end, and like what great depth the Bills have, you know, along the defensive line and along, you know, as was proven today, along a lot of positions in the secondary and on the defense in general.
Yeah, it's great. It's great. It's great that they're also getting reps in a lot of these games as well, mm-hmm. because obviously they have injuries, right? So like, mm-hmm. it's good to keep getting that and
almost treating it like a preseason game, right? Like AJ Epenesa getting more starter reps,
yeah.
You know, against the Steelers starter offensive line, you know, Boogie Bash, all those guys.
Yeah. The only downside is they're obviously being more conservative at that point in the game anyway. So they're not maybe getting the same play calls that they normally would, but they're getting reps, so that's good.
Yeah, yeah, good point. Bill Lasso writes, Wall of Fame, Gabe Davis, Josh, and James Cook for being our first running back with a touchdown all year, like you mentioned, John. Defense for holding Pittsburgh to 3 and giving us the game we expected. Wall of Shame, whoever sat Kenny Pickett's parents in the nosebleeds. As for the Bills, no one. Great game. AJ Tharp writes, Wall of Fame, Gabe Davis and Josh Allen. Nice to see injuries not pile up for a change. Yeah, good call. Wall of Shame, my older brother, for having Davis on his bench in fantasy. Oh, John, you're a big fantasy football player. Could you imagine sitting, what is that? I mean, 171 yards, 2 touchdowns. That's got to be like a 30, 40-point game, right? 170, 17, 14,
yeah, 30, yeah, so,
31. It's a minimum of 31 points.
Yeah, it's so in the league that I'm in, 34.1. And if you had Josh Allen on the same team, that's another 41.4.
Do you have Josh Allen on the same team?
No, it's somebody else.
You're just mentioning stuff out loud. That's funny. Okay, a couple more and we're going to end it. Karen, hashtag Let's Go Buffalo, writes, Wall of Fame, MVP, JA17, GD13. GD, is there a way that we can make Gabe Davis like a gosh darn, like something? We got to work that. I don't know. We'll think of that. The defense and the rookies, she said. Wall of Shame, the offense for not breaking 50 today, LOL. Come on, let's go. It's our turn. CBS giving up on play-by-play in the third to chit-chat. That's funny. She writes QB1. She gives like 8 fire emojis, so obviously a lot. Max fire emojis. Gettysburg, she said, the first long ball to Gabe Davis for 98 yards. People loving the first play of the game. We mentioned that one. A lot of people agreeing with us. Last one, Chrissy McComber writes, Wall of Fame, Josh Allen with 400-plus yards, Gabe Davis with huge catches, James Cook with his first touchdown, showing up big time despite so many injuries. The Jets for beating the Dolphins. Wall of Shame, nothing. This game was great. Bring on the Chiefs. I love it. Way to end it on that one. Yeah, that's pretty easy. This is a fun game. Looking next week into, you know, the Bills-Chiefs game, I mean, you can't help but be optimistic. Like, this won't be the same game as the Steelers game. You know, I could definitely see the Bills winning that game. But you know what's funny to me, John, is I was thinking about that this week, too, specifically with the Chiefs, is it reminds me of, do you remember when the Bills lost those Super Bowls and the following season, like, you know, the next year after Super Bowl 25, after the Bills lost to the Giants, like, the Bills trounced them in the regular season, right? The same thing with the Cowboys. Like, they trounced them in the regular season, but they could not do it when it mattered the most. So as much as, like, you know, we might be talking next week about the Bills winning against the Chiefs, and, you know, it's gonna feel great. It's going to feel amazing if they do. But all things considered, to me, like, I just have a different point of view because I know they can do it. It's just a matter of doing it when it matters the most. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, and I'm kind of down about next week after they win. I'm going to be like, well, I guess they won't be as happy.
Just tone down your happiness. No, I mean, it'll still be a great win. Don't get me wrong, because last year was a huge win in the regular season, just proving that they could do it. You know what I mean? Like, that's a big accomplishment. They can do it. That was kind of the big, you know, hump that they had to get over. Well, they're over that hump now. And now it's a matter of, you know, performing and executing when it really matters. I thought for sure you were going to say that's what she said somehow, but maybe I didn't leave it.
No, I'm still thinking about being happy or not. After
Nate basically told me I have to be upset if the Bills win 41-3 next week against the Chiefs. I believe it's in Arrowhead too, isn't it?
Yeah, that's where they played, I think, both, right? Not just the playoff game, but the regular season last year was also in
Kansas
City, right?
It was, yeah. The Bills haven't played. That's why, so the Bills finish, if the season were to end right now, the Bills have the number one seed, right?
Yes. And the Chiefs play tomorrow. I don't know, like, what happens with tiebreakers and stuff, but yeah.
Okay, gotcha. As of right now, as of the time we're recording this, if the Bills get the number one seed and they get that bye and they get home field advantage, I see the Bills getting to the Super Bowl, like the way that they're playing, especially getting people back, especially getting Tre'Davious White back, like you mentioned, and a lot of other starters, you know, over time. And the Bills are only getting healthier. So they do that, and all of a sudden you're talking about, you know, going through Buffalo. I don't see any team, unless you have absolutely horrendous weather where the Bills can't pass the ball, for some reason, like wet, like, you know, precipitation that's, you know, in the 40s where it's like cold and wet, like where they, or hurricane like winds where the Bills have to run the ball.
Yeah, they don't do good in extreme weather, apparently, over the last couple of years.
Where it forces them to run the ball. It's, can't you see, though, like Patrick Mahomes coming here? And I know Patrick Mahomes is a great quarterback, and I still think he'd have a good game. But it is a different atmosphere playing in Buffalo in January than it is in even KC in January. Like there's no stopping the Buffalo Bills. The Bills need that number one seed.
Yeah, like, I mean, look at the Patriots game last year in the playoffs. Like, it was amazing. And I think that's what makes this game next week that much more important, because not only would they have the tiebreaker over Baltimore, they would have it over Kansas City as well. Those are probably the two biggest threats, I would think, to getting that home field advantage.
Yes, absolutely. Great point. I love that you brought that up, John, because that is huge to actually get the number one seed. So, and you can't lose that, because it's not like it's a divisional game where you play them twice. Like, that is it. So, okay. So, John, there you go. The even more of a reason to be super psyched if the Bills do win next week. I kind of toned it down. I kind of brought you down. With me saying it doesn't really matter, only matters in the postseason, you just made it sound it's so much more important. That head-to-head tiebreaker is so. If they lose, you should definitely be even more depressed over that. No, I'm just kidding. No.
Well, at least I'll be happy again when they win.
Yes, you should at least be happy if they win.
I said when.
When a nice. Oh, John, I love it. So cool, John. Is there anything else that? That I forgot. I think we pretty much covered everything. And I mean, luckily with a game like this, there's not a lot to criticize or dissect. It's mostly just enjoying it and basking in the win of being 4-1, leading the conference, and Josh Allen playing the best football of his entire career.
Yeah, that sums it up.
Well, this was a fun one to recap. Appreciate you guys checking in with us. Sorry we couldn't do it last week. But we're here this week. This is a tremendous win. What a time to be a Bills fan. You know, I mentioned at the beginning of the season, not to get too sentimental or caught up in the emotion of this win, but, you know, I feel like, you know, I was thinking, you know, when I was on vacation and I saw that the Bills won 23-20, you know, I'm getting updates again because the NFL Plus app sucks. I'm getting updates on, like, the CBS Sports app of, like, you know, how the Bills are doing. John, I always read your text messages to the group. We got to find a way to, like, include the listenership to your text specifically, because I always see how the Bills, it's like, it's always like cut X player as soon as they do something bad. And then as soon as the Bills score at Super Bowls and, like, capital letters, I got to find a way to do that. But, you know, we just got to take in this season. Part of me thinks, cause like, this could be a really special season. for us as Bills fans. So like this is no exception. This game is no exception. Enjoying it, taking it all in while you can, and you know, just enjoying the moment, if you will. So with that being said, appreciate you guys listening. Appreciate you guys tuning in. This episode is brought to you by the DraftKings Sportsbook at DeLago, the DeLago Resort and Casino, aka the Jewel of Waterloo, which I'm sure I'm going to get an email from the folks over there at DeLago Resort and Casino saying, please don't ever refer to us as the Jewel of Waterloo. That's embarrassing. No, I'm just kidding. It is not as good as Third and Cole, though. Let's all agree on that. Third and Cole was an elite nickname. We're still working on other ones for more of this. Gabriel Davis, listener, came up with Count Dragula. Still love that one. But yeah, so signing off for John.
Go Bills.
For me, Nate, go Bills. Thanks to all the parents and kids that made me move down to the basement of the hotel so I could record this. Thanks to the couple that just walked by in the middle and were just like, what is he talking about? And thank you guys all for listening. Go Bills, 16-1. We'll talk to you guys again next week. Hey, hey!
Thank you for listening to the Circling the Wagons podcast. Download and subscribe to us in your favorite podcast service. Email us at ctwpod@gmail.com. That's Charlie Tango Whiskey Pod @gmail.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at ctwpod. And most importantly, go Bills!
Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills.
Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills, mate.